Globalism v. Nationalism Part 5. By Jonathan Davis. Attack of the Clones. Image. Javad Zarif meeting with UK Foreign Minister Boris Johnson, Tehran December 2017 CC license. Last time out I wrote about the continuing collapse of the Tories, the divisions within Labour, as well as the rise of the Brexit Party and the increase in political violence. So where are we now? The Tories have been trying their best to keep destroying themselves, aided and abetted by the media. Theresa May finally stepped down as Tory leader and will be replaced at some point towards the end of July, we hope. So, we were then treated to the eternal joys of a Tory leadership contest. Let me say now that I don't trust any of them. Will a Tory cuck? May as well ask if the sun will rise in the east. However, Boris appeared as the front-runner. He campaigned for leave and made early noises in support of leaving on 31 October with or without a deal. The massed ranks of Remainers and their pets in the media, fearful that a Tory leader might discover a spine and actually leave, went into full stop Boris mode. They soon adopted full-on Remainer Rory Stewart, much to our delight. He was an absolute loser who would destroy the Tories, so of course the MSM loved him. He would have been a globalist in charge of a party with a mainly nationalist, pro-leave membership and voter base. We saw how well that worked out for Theresa May. Yet Rory was feted everywhere he went as though he was a serious candidate. He used social media a lot, appearing in random places and asking people to talk to him. Journalists from the globalist establishment were falling over themselves to give him airtime, hoping he would be their man to stop Brexit. It's ironic that the man who claimed he was the only candidate to be a realist couldn't see that he didn't have a cat in hell's chance. The final crunch came after some bizarre behavior in the televised debate. Strange sitting, gurning and taking his tie off halfway through. He was then eliminated and complained of dirty tricks. Dark arts in politics? Perish the thought. This showed how breathtakingly naive Stewart was. The EU would have eaten him alive. There was much globalist shrieking and wailing as Rory was eliminated. The SAG and Gov were subsequently voted out, without saying or doing much of note. This left Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson. As Boris' victory drew nearer, the Stop Boris bandwagon went into overdrive. This all reached its nadir with Boris having an argument with his girlfriend. Woman shouts at man, men shouts back. Hardly a new occurrence in human history. However, now it was the hated Boris and the globalists saw an opportunity to sink their fangs in. They were helped by a neighbor, a staunch Remainer, who just happened to call the police, record the argument and send it to the Guardian. As you do. Boris then experienced what Vox Day calls the point and shriek phase of SJW attack. What the left-wing media were trying to do was tacitly suggest that Boris is violent. This despite the police report saying that no one was hurt, everyone was safe, no offences had taken place and no police action was necessary. Boris then came under huge pressure from the globalists to say what the argument was about. He correctly refused. Never apologize, never explain. The farce of Get Boris then continued, with stunning revelations about his socks, his haircut and when a photo was taken. This shows the hysteria of those within the Westminster and London bubbles. It will only continue as Boris moves closer to becoming Prime Minister. The Tory membership are nationalist and pro-Brexit, so are likely to vote for Boris. I think it's the last throw of the dice for them. The Tories need to leave on 31 October, come what may. Anything else and they are finished. Their voters and members will desert them in droves. The government would likely fall, and an election called, where they would be destroyed. If by some chance they pick Hunt, the same applies. It's no surprise the media are now fawning over Hunt in the same way they did with Rory. The globalists sense their chances to stop Brexit slipping away. The Lib Dems have been on the rise. They have successfully positioned themselves as the party of Remain and Stop Brexit. They are in line with their globalist voters and members, with a clear message, so have profited. They did well in the EU elections, coming in second. They had something of a reality check during the Peterborough by-election, coming in fourth. Their message plays well in the Remain heartlands of London and the university towns, not so well elsewhere. They will hope to do much better in the Brecon by-election. They can expect the Tories and Brexit Party to take votes off each other, possibly opening the way for a Lib Dem win. Vince Cable is stepping down. Joe Swinson is favourite to take over. No one really cares. They arrived at the latest sitting of the EU Parliament in bollocks to Brexit t-shirts. Their IQ level rarely troubles the scorers. They are, however, the vehicle for the #F.B.P.E. mob on Twitter and every globalist that threw their toys out of the pram because they didn't like the referendum result. Much will depend on whether Labour fully backs Remain. If they do, it will split the Remain voters. Lefty Remainers go back to Labour. If they don't, the Lib Dems may make gains as the Metropolitan, alleged, socialists lend them their vote. They may be able to harness the support of the globalists' last gasp to stop Brexit. This once again shows how politics has shifted. Whether you are pro-Leave or pro-Remain is all. No one really cares much about your other policies. Theresa May found this out the hard way during the 2017 election, when she was harping on about social care and a country that works for everyone, instead of talking about Brexit. The Brexit Party won the EU elections with ease. It shows what an avowed nationalist party can do when motivated and in tune with its voters and the focus is on the correct issues, that is leaving the EU. The Brexit Party narrowly missed out on winning the Peterborough by-election, by a relatively small handful of around 600 votes. This was a very good showing from a party starting from scratch that is just a few months old. It isn't too much of a surprise that they lost to Labour. Labour held Peterborough previously, and so knew who their voters were and where they were. Getting them out to vote was the key tactic for them, and it worked. Farage and friends should still take heart. It shows they have a real chance of winning parliamentary seats and can wreak havoc in marginals. They will hope to do better in Brecon, where there is nowhere near the same Labour tribal voting bloc. Nigel has not stopped campaigning. He is still taking the show on the road, and recently has a big rally in Birmingham. He is following in the footsteps of Trump, bringing razzmatazz and energy. This is not everyone's cup of tea, but to me feels fresh and is following a winning formula. Lord knows we could do with some enthusiasm on our side in politics. Nigel has come out against Boris. I sense that he sees him as a threat, someone who could potentially rally the Tories. Nigel will hope the Tories pick Hunt, as there is more chance of an election and the Brexit Party will gain support. He says he doesn't trust Boris or the Tories. Well, neither do I, but if the Brexit Party can hold his feet to the fire and it delivers Brexit, I won't complain. If Boris doesn't, we have a ready-made alternative party to vote for. UKIP have been left to languish in the wake of the Brexit Party. They bet on YouTube personalities and opposing Islam. This has not paid off electorally. Gerard Batten has now stepped down as leader, but is running again in the leadership contest. I like Gerard a lot. He is uncuckable, a good organizer, rescued the party finances, and it can be argued quite strongly that UKIP would have ceased to exist if not for him. Looking at the list of no-marks running against him, you would hope he wins again as he seems the best of the bunch. However, his oratory needs work and the election strategy was a failure in the Newport by-election, local elections, the EU elections and the Peterborough by-election. Hard questions need to be asked, as well as a review of recent election campaigns. Labour continue to go through more contortions than Olga Pekinko on their EU policy. Corbyn continues to walk the line, somehow still not managing to come down firmly on either side. Globalists like Starmer urge him to back Remain and a second referendum, stating he can deliver his agenda, including mass nationalization. While an EU member state, this is highly debatable. Others, like Kate Hoey, urge him to back Leave. As stated before, Labour is torn between metropolitan areas like London, and Leave voting areas like the north of England and the South Wales valleys. Corbyn needs both to win an election. How does he square the circle? By pretending to be both. He hailed the Peterborough result as evidence of this as a successful policy. Emily Thornberry fell afoul of questioning the Dear Leader on Brexit and was removed from Deputy PMQ's duty. It's going to be interesting to see how Corbyn plays it. In the end, I think Remain will win out, as Labour likes to import more voters. Tom Watson and others are continually putting the pressure on. Either there will be a mass purge aided by momentum, or Corbyn will cave to the Remainers. In the end, one cannot serve two masters. It's either globalism or nationalism. All the while, the anti-Semitism scandals and investigations dog Labour. It raised its head again during the Peterborough by-election, with the candidate accused of liking an anti-Semitic post on Twitter. Chris Williamson being readmitted is just the latest episode in this saga. Yet none of this has so far damaged Labour at the ballot box. It seems that Labour, their members and a large section of their voters, not all, by any means, simply don't care or don't care enough. All they want is to stop Brexit. Many of their MPs whine, moan, flap their gums and sign letters, but that's it. Staying in the EU and keeping their cushy safe seat matters more. Yet they still call themselves the anti-racist party. I think that tagline has now become untenable. At least Juncker and friends had the courage to leave. I will leave it there, friends. We have the result of the Tory leadership contest and the Brecon by-election to look forward to. I will probably post the next part of this series after that. The 31st October looms ever nearer. Will we be any closer to Brexit? As usual, your guess is as good as mine. We live in interesting times. Copyright Jonathan Davis 2019.